Watch them record the pod of thunder.
Oh yeah. Welcome to Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Curiosities. Mm-hmm. Oh, it smells good in here. Chris, what are we burning today?
We are back with the She's So High candle. Amber, lavender, and olive wood.
Mm,
like the best lavender. Of everything, if you will.
I like that lavender. Very nice.
Yeah.
But if you want 20% off, go to curiosities.com. Enter the promo code POTHEAD and you will be making the first steps of being a better smelling person. Well, at least your home will be better smelling. Your office, whatever it is. Better smelling 2026. Start with curiosities.com. And then the next thing we're going to need you to do is go to patreon.com/potofthunder. There's a tier.
It's too smoky in here. It's getting handy.
It is. There's a tier for everybody. But if there's something you want that's not there, well, reach out to us. We'll make it happen. If you want to be like Terrence Grasser and intro the episode like he did this week with his Dave Mustaine impression.
Oh, well, that's what it was.
I thought that's how he normally spoke.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm making assumptions here. He might have just been, that might have been all Terrence. That's, I don't know.
That's his phone voice, I think.
I've never spoken to Terrence.
No,
that might be his voice. So, but if you want to be like Terrence, you can do that at every level, every tier on patreon.com/potofthunder. You want to find out how to do it? Well, here's a clue.
Could he be the most nakedest man in the world?
Yes, he could be. You have to email the world's nakedest man. We'll make that happen for you with you yelling, singing, whatever you want to do. The name of the show, Pot of Thunder.
Carrie.
Yes, it's your buddy Andy, America's little brother, as always, joined by this man. He's going to do a dance for you. Let me get out of the way here. He's prepping. I don't know what he's got in store for us, but here we go.
Dancing his way across the podcast studio.
Nick Pollock has entered the program. Nick, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know what happened there, but you hit me with something, and then my headset went out for a second.
Yeah.
I hit you?
Yeah, like with the cape or something.
You got me.
You got me, brother. I'm okay.
Well, that's going to be a trend now.
Yeah. I had my eyes
Cheap
closed.
Shots.
I had my eyes closed. I was introducing you with everything I had, and then you clocked me. Well, Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to have you, as always.
And to your immediate left, you want him. We got him.
I can have it every day, yeah, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way, yeah, fuck you.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium, Chris Ellis.
He did
here.
The hold it, lift it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Just to
like, put a little.
You didn't
little
quite extra, see it.
A little extra something, something on there.
I don't know.
It's funny how that little bit of body language conveys so much. Just instead of just holding the finger up,
extra bouncing,
extra
of it.
Little motion.
It's like that scene in the first Naked Gun when the driving instructor's teaching how to give the middle finger.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right.
Yep. And you may have heard a fourth voice. I don't know if you're listening closely. He's back, Chris Camerato.
Welcome to the pod show, Chris Camerato. No homo, no homo. Now let's congregate the light proper hobos, hobos, hobos.
Fantastic. It never gets old.
No,
I join conference calls with that now at work.
Good. That's how it should be.
You just have it playing in a loop in the background whenever you have to unmute your mic. It's like a club. Well, they probably like that there. All right. Well, Chris, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you for having me back. I didn't expect to be back so soon, but, you know, stranger things have happened, so here I am.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back, but Nick and I are surprised, pleasantly surprised by you being back so soon, and we don't know why.
Well, first of all, the man had a birthday yesterday as of this taping, correct?
Happy belated.
It's true, yeah, thank you.
Was it 49?
It was 49, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, 49 trips around the sun, so...
He shares a birth date with my father, also March 11th. Hmm. He would have been 90. Would have been 93. So
wow.
So yeah,
good people born March 11th.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. So yeah, that was probably the main reason I had him on, but also something that he's associated with in my mind that. Came to me as would be a good idea to do on the show tonight since it's my pick. So that's what we're going to do.
Very spontaneous too. This is just in the making the last couple hours. So.
Interesting. Well, Nick and I are out in the dark, but that's part of the fun. We're going to find out with you listeners exactly what's going on, how this all transpired via online conspiracy. I don't know what's going on.
It'll all come clear once the song is revealed, and I'm ready to do that whenever you are.
Well, I'm hungry. Nick, give me something to eat. Get over here.
So here's the thing.
Feed me.
Here's the
Where's
thing.
Where's the food?
There's no no food, but there is a special. There is something a little extra special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we want to get into that just yet or.
Sure.
A little bit of business Chris and I worked on this week.
Yeah, what's going on here? Nick, tell me what's happening.
Well, I told a story last week.
Yes.
It inspired Chris. Here it is.
All right, here we go.
Put it in the cart. Place the order today. Just one more night. And the Amazon truck will be 10 stops away.
Very pretty. Oh, and I hear the 2 cent drone.
Yes,
flying
you do.
That's what it
works.
Have,
it
that's
works.
What it would have sounded like
had it arrived. Yes. So.
Well, first
that
let me say.
Well done.
First, let me say I noticed that Nick chose the original. That's Theater of Pain, right? The album that's
yeah,
on the original Theater of Pain piano part versus
not
the Decade of Decadence.
Not the extra little
oh,
ding,
yeah.
ding,
no.
where
yeah.
he does an extra octave
yeah,
on
you,
the...
No, you can't. You can't
no,
do
did
that.
Not go for that.
No. Yeah.
Tommy got fancier as time went on. But Nick went with the original, which is the one everybody knows and loves.
That's like Strutter 78. No thanks. I'll take Strutter 74 all day long.
It's fine. It's not that different, but...
It's different enough that it's not as good as the original.
Well, so I'm glad that you received your 2 cent drone. Two of them.
Should have ordered three.
Yeah, should have ordered three.
Because they were almost free.
Considered ordering 100 of them.
Yeah. And then the order got canceled. But yeah, anyway, there you go. Little production piece. And I was not 100% responsible. Nick actually initiated the whole thing.
And then
then we put it together.
I should have known. Nick made trouble.
I made trouble, but Chris steered the trouble to the end destination.
Yeah, it's how we collaborate on this stuff. So,
all right. So, no treat today.
That was the treat.
Okay. It was
And then more treats are coming with this tonight's song selection, inspired by our guest, Mr. Camarado.
All right. Well, I think that we should stop waiting, stop the suspense.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready when you are.
All right, let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All I have This one's called
Hard Rock Knockers.
Off of
Peter Criss.
Oh, okay.
By the band
Peter Criss.
This, you know, this sounds like a conversation I had several hours ago.
What?
With who?
With our guest.
Oh, well, there you go.
He said, "Hey, do you have this song at the ready?"
Well, there you go.
And I said, "This is the only." I'm sorry.
No, I'll say, I'll have you know that I made that comment to you before Criss even reached out to me and said, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?"
Really?
That was because there was the post that Criss made in Pod Thunderstand about Peter Criss being in Chicago and the deadly fall down the flight of stairs. And I made the comment about if this song comes up, it has the potential to be an epic draw. And that was when I messaged you and said, by the way, if it comes up at some point, do you have it ready to go? Because it's not on streaming. That was what that was about, hours before this took shape.
So I emailed it to you, Andy.
Oh, okay.
So check one of your email accounts. Send it to both that I have.
Okay, so this album came out in November?
Got it. Sounds right.
I think so.
December, because
Ace had passed away already.
Yeah, it was the day the day before Peter's 80th birthday as it came
out. Yeah,
yeah.
80th birthday. So... And surprisingly, maybe not surprisingly, I guess by design, it's not on any streaming services that I've seen. I have heard almost all the album. I did not listen to this one because I had a feeling that
it would come up here.
It would come up on this podcast, and it would be better had I not heard it already. So
I'm assuming that's by design, like you said. That has to be Peter being like, I'm trying to sell physical copies of this. That's the only way you're going to get it.
I guess so, yeah.
Or YouTube. It's probably on YouTube.
It's not really.
No, it's not.
Couldn't find it.
No, only that Creepy Crawlers, that first song that he came out with on Halloween.
Wow.
That's really the only thing I've seen on there. Because I figured out by now, yeah. Come on.
Well, before we get into anything else, I think we need to have a brief but very important intervention with Mr. Camarado, because I looked at the listener submission list and you submitted this song. But let me tell you when you submitted this song. Christmas Day, 9:19 a.m.
Wait, what time?
9:19 a.m.
Which, that begs a question.
What?
Did you just open this?
Yeah.
Was this your gift that you had just opened at 9:19 a.m. and then...
I think this is one of those situations where, you know, you make an agreement with the children... that you're going to do Christmas at a certain time, but then as the children get older, you're ready and they're not.
I think
it was one of those. I'm going to talk about Hard Rock Knockers when, you know, it's Christmas morning.
Okay. Well, fair enough. You were waiting for everyone to wake up. You probably already had a little bit of coffee. Hard Rock Knockers on the mind.
That's fine.
Amazing.
All right. We'll let you slide then.
So, Nick, you say you've heard most of the rest of the album. What's your takeaway from it?
My take is, and I don't know the flavor of this song, so it may fit into, it's one category or the other, but this album to me has got sort of like a few songs that sound like his 78 album, the just R&B kind of old rock and roll,
right,
which I prefer with Peter Criss, but most of the album is John 5 is very much behind it, so it's got more of like the really sort of modern rock, you know, riff driven kind of stuff like that.
Okay.
And it all sounds good, it's all cool, but just for my taste, if it were up to me and for whatever reason there was nobody else on the planet besides Peter Criss and I, and he said you're producing, then I would say we're doing like all the, we're not even doing ballads, it's all gonna be hooked on rock and roll, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And those are my favorite songs on the album. There are like two or three of them that I think that I've heard. So it, you know, I wouldn't say it's not a good album. It's just, this is just my, you know, my taste. Doesn't have enough of what I want from Peter Criss.
It's way, way better than the one he did 17 years ago, that One for All album.
Yeah, yeah.
That one was a tough listen. But no, there's some really good songs on it. There's some others that, you know, personally maybe don't do it for me. It's an interesting band though, right? Because he's got John Five playing guitar. Mm-hmm. He's got Billy Sheehan playing bass. And so it all sounds great. But, you know, at some point, not on this particular track when we get into it, this one's all right. But, like, on some of the songs, it's like, do I really want to hear John Five, like, shredding over Peter Criss? Like, some of it just doesn't
add
up. But it's not a bad listen. If you're a fan of the Catman, it's worth taking a listen.
Well, and when you find out that Paul Schaffer is in the band, you think every song is going to be...
Oh, he's involved,
hooked
too.
Hooked on rock and roll, involved. You know, tossing and turning kind of stuff. But it isn't, but it's not... I wouldn't say it's not good. It is a good album. It's just, again.
Did Peter play the drums on this? Are we assuming? Yes.
He did. Yeti? Well, at least he's credited.
Is he credited?
Playing the drums.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, he wasn't even credited on his 78
that much. That's why it's worth asking, because you never know. Especially if, like you said, John Five's putting it together. Who knows if he's just like, all right, we the band are going to do this.
And who knows if they're telling the truth.
Sure.
I mean, you know.
But really, I'm happy for Peter, because this was a cool moment for him to have this album come out. I think a lot of people were excited for it. I know a few people who were telling me that they were going to order certain color vinyl or certain color CD or whatever. So I'm just happy that it was going on.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Yeah. And that it did sound cool. You know, that Creepy Crawler song is cool.
What did you buy, Chris? Chris C.?
I have the CD.
CD, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, yeah, I haven't heard anything off of it, so I'm coming in with fresh ears here.
The only thing I heard was Creepy Crawly. Is it Creepy Crawly?
Creepy Crawlers.
Or Creepy Crawlers.
Creepy Crawlers, yeah. Whatever.
Just like the...
honestly? Chris shook his head at me in disapproval, but...
How do you
what's
not
the difference?
Know that?
Yeah. What's the difference, really?
Some of the titles of the songs, though, on the album, classic Catman titles.
Do you have them in front of you?
Yeah. Murder. Justice.
Oh. Well, those go hand in hand, usually.
Rubberneckin'.
Which I thought was an Elvis cover, perhaps.
Cheaper to Keeper. That's a good one.
I did hear that one. That's something. Yeah.
Okay. And Hard Rock Knockers.
and Hard Rock Knockers is the last one. It's the bonus track, so it's only on certain versions of it.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
But it's on the one you have?
It's on the one I have, yeah.
Well, why would you buy a copy of the album that doesn't have Hard Rock?
Unless you didn't know that the song existed. But see, now I'm going to have to go down the rabbit hole again, as I did a couple years ago, of looking up the Chicago Knockers.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to contact people who were on the team.
Oh, yeah, you try to get someone to be on
the
show.
And seeing if they'll come on the podcast again.
Give it a shot.
Going to have to reach out to the surviving Chicago Knockers now.
And what was the sport that they were again?
Roller derby.
I think it was roller derby, or I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see roller derby.
Might have been mud wrestling involved, yeah. I think.
No, I think might have been mud wrestling. Those two things go hand in hand.
Mud roller derby, whatever.
I think they did a mashup of those two sports towards the...
Some kind of mud show.
End of the 70s, beginning of the 80s.
Could have just done mud in the middle.
Right, exactly.
That'd have been good.
Yeah.
I see Tony Griggs in the chat says 5.5 hour wait to meet him, but worth it.
Yeah.
I met the Catman too back when I was, I guess, like 16 years old. They used to do the New York Kiss Convention every year in my hometown in Hackensack, New Jersey. And I rode my bike down there literally like 2 years in a row when I was in high school so that I could go to the Kiss Convention. And that year he was the big, you know, featured guest. John Reagan from Frehley's Comet was there too. So he was super gracious, really nice. I mean, this is like 1993, you know, Peter Criss didn't have a lot going on at that point.
Right.
But you know, it was his like blonde hair, you know, in his 40s era.
Like the Donahue era, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like Donahue era, Peter Criss, No, he was super gracious and, you know, signed my 78 solo album. Good guy.
Cool. Yeah, Tony's saying the same thing. Says when I met him, talked about the record and how proud he is of it. So there you go.
He should be, from what I've heard of it. He should be proud of it.
Why not?
It's a cool record.
Well, I'm excited to hear it. I only heard the one song, nothing else.
So. Well, you're hearing the other top shelf song, obviously. So, I mean, I assume that based on the title, it's going to be about what we think it's going to be about. I think that's the easy answer to that question is a yes. It's about tits.
Castanets, right? Castanets.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought it was the name of a street gang.
I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, we are going to find out.
We'll be disappointed. All right, well, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Peter Criss, Hard Rock Knockers. All right.
It's very Poison so far to my ears.
Drums are like cannons too.
Well, the drums are, yeah, but that guitar riff, that to me it could be CC playing that.
Yeah, but it's also rooted in like your classic Chuck Berry style rock and roll.
Sure.
Double stop guitar riff, so you know, so far so good. In fact, Andy, give it a little more jack.
Mm-hmm. It's even got a bit, and I know there are a million guitar riffs like this because of that. It's all rooted in that old original rock and roll sound. Mm-hmm. The little Georgia Satellites happening to my ears.
Yeah,
Keep
your hands to yourself.
But a million other songs too. Of
Fielding Fowler mentioned Once Bitten, Twice Shy,
sure.
Great White. So yeah, it's all, you know, anything rooted in classic Chuck Berry rock and roll guitar playing is it should invoke those comparisons, and that has never been a bad thing ever. So far so good. And if he starts singing about tits, I mean, it's going to be a fucking winner, right?
What if it's an instrumental?
It's just this 3 minutes of this. All right, let's keep going and see what happens.
Andy, what do you think of John Five's lead work here?
I don't think he's playing on this, right,
really?
Chris? This is not him.
Really?
No, this is the other guy who played on the rest of it.
Well,
I looked at it quickly earlier on Wikipedia, but we can. I'll look it up again.
Yeah,
but this is not
John
Five.
This one is Mike McLaughlin.
Yeah, this is
playing on this one. John Five plays on three tracks. He plays on Creepy Crawlers, Justice, and Rubbernecked.
You know,
I was trying to get Andy going.
I was going to say, I like it. now I know why.
Because it's not John 5?
Because it's not John 5.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, we got there anyway.
Yeah, we did. And I think the guitar sounds great. Bass is fun. Sounds cool.
Yeah, Billy Sheehan on the bass. Yeah.
I don't like the way the drums sound. They're so big and compressed. I think it sounds weird. It's a sound that should go bye-bye.
It's a bit maxed out.
Yeah.
Guitar is way up front.
It doesn't sound like a drum set.
No, I guess not.
I'm sick of that. Everybody does that, where it's this, everything's a cannon.
Well, everybody doesn't do it, but a lot of people do, and it's very dated. It's not what you like to hear from a modern drum sound, and...
I feel like that's the only thing that exists now for modern recordings, unless it's some intentional, like we're going to do 1984 equipment or something.
Yeah, I suppose you're right in that sense of it, but, you know, there's bad recordings everywhere. I don't really necessarily equate it with that. To me, it sounds like more 80s, but But I get your point. Yeah, it's not the greatest drum sound.
Are you saying there's that the initial impact of hitting the drum is kind of drowned out?
Yeah,
it's not really like an attack and then a quick fade of the sound. It's more just like it's already there.
Yeah, and it's all too perfect. It doesn't sound like a stick hitting a thing.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
It's like a video game or something. The way it sounds, I don't know. I don't like it, but the song
maybe
is
maybe John Five
fun.
Played the drums.
Probably did.
That's why you don't like it.
That's probably it.
Well, see, here's the thing with, you know, Peter Criss being credited as playing the drums. So the first time I saw Kiss was in 2000 on the first farewell tour. Mm-hmm. And we had really good seats, actually. The guy we bought our coffee shop from took me to the Kiss concert.
No kidding.
Least he could do for the misery he unleashed on my life.
He was laughing all the way to the bank.
Selling
huh?
me that. Yeah, I was like a gift from above taking that join off his hands. But we had like sixth row at the the Tinley Park shed over there, so yeah, it was right up front, could see everything that was going on. Peter was barely brushing across the kit, but every hit sounded like a fucking cannon shot. So clearly he had triggers on all the drums. And you know, whatever, they do that same thing in the studio, or if it's just a live thing, but something very similar is happening here.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention that as well. I remember reading, you know, because as has come up many times on this show, Paul and Gene never miss an opportunity to kind of tear Peter down.
Nope.
That was one of Paul's criticisms about the reunion tour and thereafter, is when they first started playing, he just couldn't hit the drums hard. And so everything was triggers underneath, and they were super, you know, jacking up every hit to give it that sound when they played all those tours from 96 on.
Yeah. Which, you know, they're not the only band that's ever done that.
Sure.
But yeah, by nature, it's an artificial, there's no dynamics to it, really.
Yeah,
so.
Which is interesting to me, because he's, even in recent years, there was that video of him just playing like a, I forget what, like jazzy songs, playing along with somebody at just like a, looks like a VFW hall or something. Like he just kind of showed up and was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Him being like a jazz lover.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that the drums ended. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't know who made the call, but maybe it was just kind of out of his hands, even though it's his album. Or maybe he was just like, that's fine if that's what we have to do for a modern sound.
It's
but just surprising that being a jazz guy, it doesn't sound like an organic drum set.
Yeah, but I think your hypothesis is correct. I think he was steered down that road by the producers and the fans of his who took control of the project and just sort of offered their advice. And you know, if you want it to sound contemporary, it worked, but
yeah.
That's not necessarily a good thing. Certainly not in the ears of Andy, who's clearly displeased with what's going on sonically, at least from the drums, anyway.
I think the content of the song, like the musically what's going on, I'm enjoying it quite a bit
It's a rock and roll riff, of course, and then he's about to start singing about tits, apparently. So.
Presumably.
You know, how could you go wrong with what's going on? Well, other than the drums, but bad drum sounds have ruined a lot of, maybe not ruined, but spoiled a lot of otherwise pristine rock tracks over the years, certainly during the 80s. So, you know, it's not something we're not used to, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going.
I went to a party. The other night, all the girls were looking out of sight.
Now that's my kind of party. You
know? I was going to say after the first line, this is already not true, but I'm going along with them anyway.
You don't believe him?
You went to a party last night? No, you didn't go to a party last night.
Well, maybe he wrote this in his diary 40 years ago.
Some suspension of disbelief is required in most forms of entertainment. So,
I will say, on the Wikipedia page, it also says all lyrics written by Peter Criss, which I think we need to keep that in mind as we go through this.
And that I do believe to be the fact after I heard most of the album.
All right. Well, the girls were looking out of sight. Let's see what happens next. He doesn't care.
Yeah, okay.
He likes what he likes, and he doesn't care what else is going on.
Yeah, that's funny because it could be his buddies who came with him. He could be saying that too. He doesn't care if they're wearing wigs either. It's rock and roll, right?
Well,
if he came with Paul Stanley, then he shouldn't care because he'll be sporting a wig. So.
You're going to want to roll it back a few seconds so you don't miss the next line. Okay. Just a heads up.
Gotcha. Done. All right.
Okay. And he likes them big. So I'm thinking just big in the chest area, not big all over would be my assumption.
Right. I mean, that can be an assumption, but this might be a whole lot of Rosie situation here.
A wig on her boobs, Jackie.
Jackie, go to bed. Oh, God. Get some sleep, Jackie.
Yeah, sign off.
See you in the morning.
Yeah.
I like it.
These questions coming out of her are concerning. Wig on her boobs. I have to think about that one. Okay.
All this wig talk makes me want to watch Who's Harry Crumb, but anyway.
Yeah, right.
I mean, exactly. How is it that far-fetched? There's been Merkin talk on the show before.
It's true. Yes, there has been.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. Anything goes when you're talking about wigs, so.
Crazier things have happened.
Yes. So you brought it back so we don't miss this next line?
Yes.
All right, so listen closely to what comes after wig. I'm speaking completely from a place of not knowing what's coming next, but certainly with great anticipation, I'm looking forward to it.
Wig, double D's, down to your knees. Oh, baby, can I please see you?
Okay, so this is obviously written from the modern perspective.
Yeah.
So he did go to a party last week.
He went literally last week. Yeah. Okay.
He's at the old folks' home.
He is. Yeah.
So he just doesn't care, is what.
I mean, they have parties there.
No, I know, but.
Yeah.
Apparently they don't have brassieres there. Well,
I don't know that they make them strong enough to hold back some of this.
Yeah.
Oh
man! So I'm just—he said, "I don't care if you're wearing a wig, double." He just doesn't care. I think this is his laundry list of these are not things that are going to stop me. Is what he's saying.
What a ridiculous song this is so far.
I'm hearing it the other way. Not that it's something that's not going to stop, and he likes this.
Oh, maybe so. Okay.
See,
I was assuming it was a continuation of the "I don't cares," but okay, this might be the next. This might just be him celebrating the. Long to the knees bosoms.
Well, it's interesting. He's an original member of KISS, well known lyrically for down on your knees to, you know, KISS loves using that.
Yeah.
In the early days. Yeah, actually, even their later stuff. And now knees are being referenced again, but in an entirely different way.
Yeah, knees are always in fashion.
Knees,
KISS
it's,
music.
He can't shake the whole fascination with the knees that was implanted in him during his time in KISS.
It's 80-year-old Peter. He's bringing his modern outlook. I'm here for it.
We should applaud him for targeting age-appropriate women. So there
yes,
you go.
Yes, we should.
So good for Peter. There you go. And he said, I think he snuck in something at the end. He said, double D's to your knees. Did he say, let me see, or I want to see?
And then please.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Maybe you can go back so we can, because I think there was laughter covering up
let's just
the second half
of
that.
Let's just do that whole line again.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would object to that.
No, I certainly won't. Right. Won't.
He snuck that in there.
It was very clunky.
He's like, this is embarrassing to say, so we'll say it really fast.
Yeah, yeah, out of the corner of his mouth.
Hard rock, no problem, but...
Knockers.
We're gonna... Maybe one of you guys can cough in the vocal booth to cover it up or something. Oh, that's unbelievable. Worth every penny, this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that... kind of what I was expecting from the chorus there. I was not disappointed. Hard rock knockers.
All right, let's see.
Kind of a low key gang vocal going on in that chorus too.
Yeah, it is. PM. Yeah. <Damn
it. laughs> Yeah, because they got to get to the early bird special at the local Greasy Spoon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sounds good. That retirement life. You hear that?
If
stuff?
You make like, it,
yeah. If you make it, I'm into that.
I'm into it.
Yeah, what's
too.
Not to like about it,
I'd be,
man?
I'd be happy to eat dinner at 3:30.
Hell yeah!
Get my ass
absolutely.
In bed. Fingers crossed.
You'll get there. I couldn't get my eyes off
those jigglies. What just happened?
You said...
I couldn't get my eyes off those jigglies.
Oh,
jigglies.
So he rhymed 2:45 with jigglies.
All right. I'm ready to vote.
Get Pete Weber on the phone. We're ready. Wow, jigglies. Okay. Said you wanna go home with me.
I said yes indeed, indeed. Duh. Just down the hallway, I mean.
That's
just
true,
a different,
yeah.
Different room.
Yeah, and just two doors away. Apparently that isn't it a thing in nursing homes or old folks homes that the sex is rampant in there.
Yeah, and rampant sexually transmitted diseases in
never heard this before.
I've heard it too. That gets around. I don't know where Nick's been living under a rock. Hard rock knocker, apparently.
Yes.
Nick just doesn't want to believe it. He's in denial.
Well, I kind of don't.
No, none of us do, but apparently it's true.
I mean, come on, your immune system's not what it once was, and you're going out inviting VD all of a sudden.
Well, you're there for a reason. You're there to party. I think. Isn't that what it's for?
No.
No, it's not? No.
Well, sort of.
Apparently it is. It's just Sodom and Gomorrah in those places.
Well, some of the people were there too, probably.
Yeah.
Andy,
Chris is like the producer in the.
I'm like Rick James in the party all the time thing. I'm like, yes,
he's nailed John C. Reilly and Boogie.
Yeah, right, exactly. I just watched that clip like again yesterday. Yeah,
reenactment of the party all the time video. Peter's coming down the steps.
Yeah, with some random white guy on his arm.
Nick, what were you going to say? I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, no, just, would you say big chorus?
I'd say so. I'd say moderate to big. Moderate to severe.
which you hear, you know, there's a lot of talk of that at the old folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to be careful of the moderate to severe symptoms.
Yeah, she has moderate to severe hard rock knockers.
may cause nausea and diarrhea.
But this is... Oh, go ahead. Were you
Severe is if they go below the knees. They're just down to the knees. That's moderate.
That's moderate, yeah.
But the vocals are kind of understated in the chorus, so that's kind of odd.
Yeah, and again, first time hearing this song, I can only assume we're going to get some classic Catman interjections later in later choruses. Don't know if it's going to happen. I'm thinking, you know, nothing to lose kind of a thing.
Yeah,
we'll see, but that's what I want.
Fielding Fowler says the old men in the home have one thing that the wrinkles come out of. There you go. I think we're talking erections. Yep.
He would know. I don't know. I'll defer to his expertise on this.
My goodness. Yeah. This is all just shocking to me.
All perversions on
all this revelation coming. What's this now?
Yeah, see, I'm not even going to read all these. Just all the perversions of the old folks' home.
Had no idea. Hey. Did not expect this song to go down this road, but that makes for some of my favorite episodes when this happens.
The unexpected.
Yeah.
Oops, that was a loud one. All right.
Man.
He said jiggle, jiggle.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's what he's saying.
Oh, Peter. He's having a good time.
God love him, he too, because he's 80.
He's
but,
having
you know.
A wonderful time.
Remember, this is the last track on the album, and very likely the last thing that Peter Criss ever puts on record.
Yeah.
And it's Hard Rock Knockers, 80-year-old Peter Criss.
Jiggle, amazing. Jiggle. We'll find out what the last word of the song is, but I hope it's jiggle.
I don't think I'd have it any other way.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want Kiss to have another recording after Don't Touch My Ascot.
In a good way, right? You're not
in
saying
a good
that,
way. Yeah, no, I think just something bizarre like that to be the last recording or that's released in some
looking
way.
Looking that way.
And
this,
yeah,
this is Peter's swan song artistically.
You know, they might have had all the songs kind of just kind of laid out randomly, cut into strips of paper with the titles on it, and putting it together. And what do you want? What do you want the last song to be, potentially? And I guess this is what he decided.
Everyone agreed.
I couldn't agree more.
This song's probably in regular rotation at old folks' homes mixers. This should be like... it's like, you know, certain songs, they're always played at strip joints. This should always be played at old folks' homes.
What other song what other song touches on this subject? How often... do you hear a rock song that touches on something that no other song has gotten to in all the years?
That's true. I can't think of it.
Not lyrically, but what I'm thinking of as we're listening to this and we're talking about it, and being that that Andy's such a big Faith No More fan, I'm thinking of the Sunny Side Up video.
Yeah.
In the nursing home.
Yeah.
Like all the old people get freaky while the band's playing, like... that's what Peter's going for here.
That's it. Yeah, same thing. Same concept.
Well, if that's what he's going for, he hit the bullseye, I think.
All right, we're a little more than halfway through. Let's keep going.
Now, do you think, with this illustrious crew of musicians, are they aware of the subject matter as they're laying down the instrumental tracks? Or are they just like, this is a cool hard rock song, man?
Yeah, I wonder what Peter's going to come up with.
I wonder what it's going to be.
they didn't tell us, you know? That's a good question.
And also, I could imagine the Jiggle Jiggle being a late addition. Like, that's a studio edition. That's not
either that or the first lyric that he wrote down on the notepad.
And yeah, they built
everything from around the middle here.
Jiggle jiggle on whatever chord that A
he's
chord
like, look,
and jiggle jiggle.
I don't care what else happens in this song.
Yeah, it's up to you guys. Trust your judgment.
I'm going hitting round the clock right now. See ya.
Yeah. Jiggle jiggle. Oh!
He gave it to me.
So we wanted.
I love it.
You know, he should do that.
I love it. He had to do that, and he delivered. And I'm. This is a real moment of satisfaction hearing this for the first time, because that's what I wanted, and that's what he gave me at 9:19 a.m. on Christmas morning. This is what he delivered.
But it comes full circle, right? Nothing to Lose is the first Kiss single, 1974.
There you have it.
This is likely the last thing the Catman ever puts on wax, and you shake it one time for the Catman. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, that is good. Excellent observation. It didn't occur to me immediately, but yeah, it's bringing everything full circle. Yeah.
It's like Seinfeld. The first episode, they had the discussion about the button on the shirt.
They ended
the last episode with the discussion about the button on the shirt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So this is very Seinfeld songwriting. He's inspired by Larry David.
I don't know that this subject matter. I think Seinfeld got to almost everything, but not.
Well, they got in the fake boobs versus real boobs with the Terry Hatcher episode. So,
but this
they're real and they're spectacular.
This is a whole other territory that we're getting into.
Well, of course, yes. But if you were wondering if they ever specifically touched on the topic of boobs in Seinfeld, they absolutely did.
So. And old folks communities.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah,
certainly absolutely. The retirement communities were represented.
Yep.
Hmm. Okay. Let's see. We're probably going to wrap it up here. Let's see. Another minute.
Yeah! You know what I like.
Wants to see them, huh?
He's got to see them.
So he's not just excited that he's in the presence of them. He wants them out.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He's
begging to see them.
He wants them out.
Incredible
stuff. I don't know. You get them out, they're hanging down at the knees. So maybe you put them back in.
You're going to have to call one of the nurses to help get them back in, probably. But.
Jackie said
a couple of orderlies.
Yeah. Jackie said Elaine's nip also. That was another Seinfeld.
Yeah, no, boob centric subject matter. True. Yeah.
Okay, so it's official. The last thing Peter Criss likely will ever say on a recording is him begging to see some breasts.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that whatsoever.
It's what I want from the Catman. Dirty living.
Yeah.
It really is perfect. It really is.
It's what you want.
It absolutely is. There. I mean, I wouldn't want a My Way-esque sort of ballad, you know, in serious encapsulation of his life and career. That's not what I want.
Is there anything like that elsewhere on this album? Does he go down that road on this one?
I don't think so.
Nothing like I Can't Stop the Rain or anything that...
No.
He doesn't have a serious ballad on it, does he?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I'm thinking back to, you know, the album, the One for All album. I guess that was like 2009.
Yeah.
And the last track on that album was Space Ace, right? Which is really depressing. And it's about like Ace screwing him over for taking more money on the reunion tour and like lying to him about it and how like he felt betrayed about it. You don't want that as being the last thing that the Catman ever says on an album either.
No.
So this is a much better way to go out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
we can do without the bitterness as our last memory of a great rock and roll icon.
Yeah, I'm trying to see here the just by the titles of the tracks. No, I don't.
No,
I don't think
so. There's no ballads.
No, it's either like a good old rock and roll like this for a few tracks, or kind of
something heavier
than you maybe would expect from, you know, from Peter Criss. But, well, depending on what era of his solo career you're familiar with, because it got fairly heavy there in, what, the early 90s.
Did it?
I did. Cat Number One album has some rockers on it.
The Criss Band was pretty heavy.
Well, quickly, let me do this. I'm going to read the comment you left, Criss,
when
you
submitted this day.
On Christmas, 9 a.m. On behalf of all of Pod Thundistan, I implore you to devote an episode to this song with full lyrical analysis. The Republic needs this to happen. The octogenarian Catman continues his ways of dirty living right up to the current day. Unreal that this even exists. Perfectly said. I don't think we even need to say anything else.
Not really. Bingo is what I would say. In keeping,
I must have been looking at the balls on the Christmas tree, waiting for my children. Yeah. Hard Rock Knockers.
Yeah. There you go. All right, well, I think we have to vote. Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch. Who should Criss L or Criss C go first?
I say we extend that to our guest.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to have to give this the sweetest of surrenders.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
All right. Recap it for us.
I mean, what else do you want from the Catman? I mean, he's singing about, you know, being essentially among octogenarians, and what is he thinking about at this point? He still wants boobs. Like, what is there not to like here? He says, shake it one time for the Catman. He brings it full circle, like we were talking about. They should make a video for it. In my opinion, there needs to be a video for this song.
Yeah, I mean, if Ace could do the Cherry Medicine video, then there's no reason why Peter couldn't do this video.
That's actually a good point. This is like Peter's Cherry Medicine video.
Except for the women are more his age.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like this should happen, Andy. I feel like you need if anyone could make this happen, I mean, with the quality of that I'm a Legend Tonight video.
I need to make a video of this? Okay. Do I need to get Peter, or could I just do it myself?
You and a wig, you could be anybody. We've seen that.
I'll transform into Peter.
Yeah, you're Lon Chaney for, you know, all intents and purposes.
Okay. All right, I'll think about it. All right, Criss L.
Oh, Sweet Surrender, yeah.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
I mean, an 80-year-old guy singing with gusto about tits. That's it. What else do you want me to say? What's not to like about that? The drums didn't put me off that much. I don't think they're as bad as some other recorded drums these days. They're certainly better than the drum sound on a lot of like Ace's albums, like some of his Origins albums. One of the things that it kind of spoils those for me is the drum sound. It's way over the top. I didn't get that impression from this drum sound. I thought it was, you know, rock and roll musical arrangement. And of course, the lyrical subject matter, what's not to like about it? You know, it gives you hope that, you know, in your, as you exit your 70s and start your 80s, that you're still gonna have this shit on your mind, keeping you young in that way, I suppose.
I guess it never ends. Nick?
Sorry, I'm looking up Chicago Knockers alumni. Might have a prospect.
All right.
Or a guest. We'll see. Come on, Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender!
Yeah, it's it doesn't happen that often where you're listening to something and you say, man, I wish this would happen. and it totally happens. And that just occurred on the podcast live to me. So it was a really fun moment when he went for it and just totally channeled Nothing to Lose and still pretty much sounded like it. I know he's not known for having the most stable voice. They always talk about, oh, pitch. That's Gene and Paul complaining about it. But he sounds... I forget who was telling me that on this album. Was it you, Chris, that said vocally he's in and out a bit, but sounds great on this one.
Yeah, he does. I think he sounds great on most of it, right? But you could definitely hear that his voice has changed a lot, mm-hmm. right? It's not, I mean, we know what the Catman sounds like, but he's 80 years old.
Yeah, he's fucking awesome. 80. I mean,
this is awesome. Yeah,
and he sounds great, not just for 80, but for whatever age. He
sounds,
yeah, pretty great. So, yeah, I love it. I think it's a ridiculous song. The subject matter with you know, he's 80 and he's not talking to 20-year-olds.
If you don't have the capacity to appreciate ridiculousness, you should not be interested in anything anyone associated with Kiss
that's
has
true.
Ever done.
That's true.
I mean, that's just, they go hand in hand. Come on.
It's completely ridiculous and it's fantastic. It shouldn't, as Chris C said, essentially this is the way to end it off if he never records another album. This should be the last song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My turn to vote.
Yeah. It is.
Oh, I'm gonna give it a sweet surrender.
It's sweet surrender.
Hell yes.
Yeah, Chris L, I'm gonna back off of my drumming comments after the song went on more and more. But just at the beginning it sounded a bit much to me, but maybe that was just the way it was mixed and produced.
And also arranged. It was just guitar and drums. It wasn't bass coming in to link everything together.
Yeah. So I'll back off of that a little bit. But yeah, fun song. I'm glad he did it, like Nick said. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad we're... And Chris, you said that too, that you can't believe we're in the world with this or whatever. I forgot exactly how you said it, but yeah. We're all just happy to be alive at the same time as this.
Right, exactly.
Of all the options, of all the millions of years... We get to be here for this.
Yeah, I actually prefer this over being alive when there's a cure for cancer, I think. This is being here for Hard Rock Knockers is probably higher on my list.
If you think about it, like, as far as Peter's solo career, are there really many songs after the 78 solo album that you could even, like, hum along to or sing in your head or, like, that just stick with you? I mean, there's a couple of good songs, but like, this goes back to, you know, That's the Kind of Sugar Papa Likes and Hooked on Rock and Roll and like that kind of old timey rock and roll vibe, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's a great way to end it.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and that's what he should be known for, is being the guy in Kiss who had the guts to go to that.
Yeah,
on his 78.
That's what he was into, and that's what he wanted
absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely,
he got the memo. That's what a solo album is supposed to be, different from your day gig.
Yeah,
him and actually Gene got that memo. Paul and Ace didn't, although their albums are excellent. You know, the fact that he was criticized for putting out the album he did is so off base. It's not even funny. It's the whole point of doing a solo album, at least it should be.
And is it petty of me to mention yet again how it took Paul, 30 plus years to come out with his own version of Peter's 78 solo album?
No, it's
after criticizing it the whole time.
Yeah, it's just...
It's such poetic justice that happened.
It's the definition of irony right there.
Well, guys... I didn't think we'd get here, but we're here.
Irony cloaked as passive aggression.
Hey,
Paul's,
I got a question for you.
Case.
As Kiss fans, do we like it better when they get along, or do we like it better when they're squabbling?
It's a good question.
I think bands in general are more... They put out their best stuff when they're not getting along. I mean, you could look back on a lot of the great bands. There was so much, you know... I mean, I could... Fleetwood Mac, Eagles, Van Halen. They hated each other at some point, but they put out some of the most iconic music of all time. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that personal tension contributing to the potency of the music. If everything's hunky-dory, are you really going to get anything with an edge or with any urgency or energy? I think, you know, by nature, you've got egos in a rock band. You want that because you want your rockers, at least I do, to be larger than life. You put multiple egos in one unit, you're going to get that friction, and it results in better output, you know?
Like that, there was a Fleetwood Mac meme going around recently, and it was like, let's see what happens if you put people who hate each other, lock them in a room for a year with nothing but guitars, pianos, and cocaine, and see what comes out the other end.
Yeah, and they're constantly fucking each other in various combinations. Throw that into the pot and see, and that's how you get something like Rumors.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you don't get that with emailing files back and forth
to
different parts of the globe.
No. You don't. To answer your question, Nick, I think that's clear. We like it when they're squabbling.
I guess so.
And they're constantly squabbling.
I guess they just give us what we want.
And they're never going to not be squabbling because they're a bunch of old bitches, and they have been. They have been for decades. So,
yeah,
and we wouldn't have them any other way, to be honest.
And for the record, I was fully supportive of them removing Peter Criss from Kiss when that dissolved in the early 2000s. I think that was the right move at the time.
Yeah, it had to.
Oh, it had to happen. He was pushing him in that direction with the teardrop on the makeup and the kicking over of the drums kit on stage and stuff. He was asking for it, and he got it.
And then by the time they came back on that Aerosmith tour a couple of years later, did any of you guys see that tour?
No, I didn't go to that one.
I saw that one, and you know, it just wasn't there. Like, you could tell the fills were missing. Like, the drums were the weak link on that tour, and it was just kind of like, all right, it's time to call it.
Yeah,
right. If you can't, you know, if you can't cut it on stage, you can't be a participant. It's that simple.
Gene and Paul had 20 more years left in them, you know, so it makes sense. All right. It's time to figure this out here. Paul Stanley wants to know if Hard Rock Knockers is a rock and roll boner classic.
My vote's in.
It's that easy, huh? All right. We'll go in the same order. Chris C, Chris L, Nick, me.
Okay.
Andy.
Andy, I have good news for you.
Uh-huh.
Gonna send you something.
Oh. Okay. Let's find out what Nick's sending me here.
Gonna send you something.
I see dot dot dot.
It's good news.
No, damn it. Okay.
Do you need the do you need me to send you a file?
I have a feeling it's the file I already sent him in email. It might be.
Well, all right, we'll see. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Let's get our votes. My vote is in. How about Nick? Nick's thinking. Chris?
I'm thinking. I'm close, but I'm thinking.
All right.
Chris C., your vote's in?
Yeah, I got my vote in.
All right.
Vote is in, huh? On Nick.
Yeah, you know what? I have my vote.
Alright, we're all in.
Rock.
And
roll.
Boner.
It had to happen.
Yeah.
It's a rock and roll ball.
Had to happen. We'd be crazy not to let it happen, right?
Yeah, and especially like we've talked about, this is the last song on his most recent album, will probably be his last album, the last thing he ever puts out in chronological order.
In his lifetime, at least.
You have to elevate it. You have to. This is the final exit music of a rock and roll icon, certainly to Kiss fans, but should be to everybody. A man
and
made his mark on rock and roll.
100%.
Just a legend. So
yeah.
Is there a better way to go out than this? I mean, we just talked about it. You know, Shake It One Time for the Catman. The subject matter. Like, how much fun did we have with it? Absolutely.
Yeah, that
needs to be elevated.
The main reason that it got elevated to the status it did is because how much fun we had with it, the history of who it is and what's happening. If this was a new artist and this was the first song I heard,
no
way. That's not going to get elevated.
You need you need to build up some equity.
Exactly.
To put something like this out, to have the cojones to do it.
And for it to be received the way it's received.
Sure, yeah.
All right. Well, if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Stamp it. Nick had an idea, but I don't think it's going to work.
I have another idea.
Okay. I'll just say what's going on. In the chat, Bev was saying this. Did you see that and that's why you said it? Or did you independently think of the same thing? So Bev was saying we should play the Dirty Living game, which we used to do back in the day. But we don't have the Peter Chris book here. That was at my house when we used to do the show at my house. And there was
I have it. I have it in front of me.
Okay. Maybe we'll do it that way.
All right.
It's going to take me a second to see if I could find this clip, too.
I forwarded you an email from 8 years ago.
Okay.
With the 10-minute long clip. So if you can, if you're able to get that going, Chris has his book. I don't think anything's stopping us.
I mean, I can't really talk my way out of this one, can I?
No, not really.
I also sent you the exact same file to the Yahoo account. So we were on the same wavelength.
Okay.
While you're taking a look, there are 369 pages in the version of the book that I have in front of me.
Wow.
And for those folks who are new to the Dirty Living game, back in the day, season one, there was this theory that there was something off the wall.
Salacious.
Salacious on every page, likely, of Peter Criss's book. And so everyone picks a page at random, and then we try to find the most obnoxious thing that's on that page.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right to me.
And you said 300 and what, 98?
369 pages.
Okay. All right, we'll get ready for that in a second here. Why don't we take a quick commercial break? What do you think?
Sure.
And while that's happening, let it play. If you skip it, that's okay too. Let it play. Go over to our YouTube page, youtube.com/potofthunder probably. You'll find it. And subscribe if you're not already, because we learned today that we're only like 70 subscribers away from being able to get ad money. Otherwise, you get stuck with the ads anyway. We just don't get the money.
It'd be
on
really,
YouTube.
It'd be really cruel if you were the 1,000th and then you unsubscribe, by the way.
That would be rude.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Or we might have to make 70 accounts. 70 Gmail.
I've got like three.
There you go. Get us up there. If you've got multiple, just subscribe. Doesn't matter. We get some of the money that we otherwise are not getting. So help a brother out.
Well, and also, if you're consuming this show for free and you have been for 13 plus years and you don't want to join Patreon, all you got to do is subscribe on YouTube and then just ignore it. There's no easier way to support this show.
That's true.
You've been fucking freeloading for 13 plus years. Go subscribe on YouTube. It's the least you can do. Costs you nothing. Zero effort on your part. You can flat out ignore the subscription if you want. You know, you owe Andy money. Pay up, all right? Jesus. Bunch of gold bricks out there.
There you go.
Wow. Old school.
Yeah. All right, let's do that commercial break. We'll be right back with the Dirty Living Game. I haven't heard this in a long time.
Oh, yeah. It's been, geez, years, right?
This is a throwback. All right, 369 pages in Peter Chris Make Up the Breakups. Who wants to go first?
I got one.
All right.
I just pulled a random off of our random generator. The first one it gave me was page 9. Is that going to be too early in his life for something chaotic?
We're going to find out.
It's certainly not out of the question. I remember reading the book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Not only is this on page 9, it's the first paragraph on page 9.
Perfect.
But I disliked his wife, Nancy. She used to beat the shit out of me. My mother told me that when I was really young, she yanked me up, upside down by my feet, and I started hemorrhaging and literally bled from my penis.
What is this?
From his penis. I thought I was going to say nose.
Yeah. Ears, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Amazing.
Yeah, that you don't even need to continue after that. We hit the jackpot. So.
What's your next?
No, look, I'm not a medical professional.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that happening to anyone else ever.
No one's ever bled from their penis
when you
from being
when
upside
you hear
down.
Hemorrhaging from, it's usually somewhere else. It could be a variety of places.
So when you go to Six Flags, you're just bleeding from your penis on every ride when you get turned upside down.
It doesn't say it on the sign. It doesn't say it. Pregnant women and people who are likely to hemorrhage from their lower extremities.
You don't have to wear a men's, what are those called? Whatever those men's diapers are. I forgot
Depend?
The name.
Depend?
Yes, the Depends.
It's not Depends, by the way. It's singular.
Depend. Oh, it's Depend. Okay. Yeah. Okay, you don't have to wear a Depend.
Yeah, a Depend undergarment is what they call it.
For the blood.
So are we, am I picking a number now?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. What do we got?
In honor of your and my dad's birthday, I'm going to say 311.
Oh, I like that one. Let's see.
Public nudity, if I'm not mistaken. The police,
isn't that
the code for public nudity?
Oh, this is Psycho Circus era.
Okay. Mm.
What did you send me, Nick? What is this? Fail. This what? File?
Nothing?
Oh, no, you don't need it. All right. That was in case we didn't have a copy of the book.
Okay.
All right, it's not off the wall salacious, but it's interesting nonetheless, and there's a Peter flair to
close
it.
Close enough for rock and roll. Let's
close
hear
enough
it.
For rock and roll, right? They're basically talking back. They're talking about how nobody was getting songs on Psycho Circus. So he says it was the same old shit. Then Ace called me. He really wanted a song on the album, and he was breaking balls big time, calling Gene every hour. Quote, I want my fucking song on the album. I'm going to quit the band if I don't get a song. So they finally caved. Ace had written something called Into the Void, which was perfect for the Spaceman, but it wasn't really a good song. Ace insisted that I come over to his apartment and rehearse with him because he wanted me to drum on at least one song on the album. That's what I loved about Ace. He always did seem to have my back. So we went into the studio, and Gene and Paul were standing there like they're the producers, and we cut the track. It was a nightmare, and it was even worse when we tried to play it live, but Ace was appeased. He got a song on the album, so he said to make some money because it was going to sell well. Nobody was going to know that we weren't on it, but in fact, the album was subpar. There was a bad song from Ace. I sang a song at gunpoint. They got a substitute in for me, so they're not getting that flaming, fiery, instinctual drumming that they had years ago, and the road manager is playing Ace's leads.
All right. That was good. He spilled out some venom there. That's what we want.
Yeah, sing a song at gunpoint. Yeah, I mean,
it's a bad song.
It's a terrible song.
I'm talking about I Finally Found My Way. I think you are too, Nick.
Yes,
right?
Sure.
That song is terrible. I like Into the Void. Peter seems to think that it sucks, but I like it.
Into the Void is one of the highlights of that album.
I think
let's be honest here.
Maybe I don't know, I'm giving him credit here. Maybe he's saying it was worse when he
first brought it in, and then other people got their hands on it and fixed it up. You know, that's the way I interpret it as well. Nick, you got one?
I'm going to split the difference, sort of. 116.
All right, let's see what we got.
The dogs are talking.
All right. Okay, here we go.
Oh, boy.
One time I had 4 naked women in my room. I didn't know where to put my hands and face anymore. There were just so many tits all over the place. Zine was this Jewish kid who never had so much pussy in his life. Why would he want to go home to an empty apartment and not be told how great he is? And even though I was the only one who was married, I didn't want to go home either. I liked this kind of room service.
There you go. So I'm guessing that's, I don't know, what year would we say? 75, probably 76?
Peak Kiss?
Something. Yeah, this is around peak. It looks like this is around peak
77.
Kiss.
77.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you not partake in all the spoils of worldwide superstardom like that? And I think that's a good way to close out the game. There was nothing but tits everywhere, or whatever he said. I mean, again, bring it back around to the original song, and there we go. Tit-centric sentiments from the Cat Man.
Exactly. And once again, even after years, the Dirty Living game does not disappoint. You picked 3 pages, and 3 pages had off-the-wall, salacious Catmanisms.
That just proves the theory correct, that not a page goes by in that book without something eye-popping happening.
Get your money's worth. It's all anybody can ask for.
If you haven't read it and you're interested, I recommend it. If you like what you're hearing on this show, there's a lot more of it.
Yeah, 300 plus pages.
with code Pothead.
We don't know where, but try it on every website.
Yeah, maybe it'll work somewhere. I don't know. But, you know, let's go back to the original plan before we go home here. I believe there are seasonal jokes.
There are.
All right, let's see.
Here's a good stick to bake the lovely lady.
Thanks.
I want me gold.
The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night.
You guessed it.
The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out.
The jokes come out at night.
And the jokes are back out.
Out like a set of 80-year-old tits. Right?
At Peter Chris's.
Down to the knees, these jokes. St. Patrick's Day, right, Nick? That's the theme.
St. Patrick's Day is what?
Tuesday
after
the day
this.
After this episode is released.
Yes, so we're going to the Emerald Isle and making fun of it.
What were those clips from? I know the one was the leprechaun.
Yeah, and that's a that I added in as a as a tribute to our dad, Andy, and my dad.
Yeah.
Because when that first movie came out, he thought that was hilarious, and he said, "I want me gold," for years. couldn't get enough of it.
True.
So that's, and that's where, that's, yeah, that's a bit of a tribute there.
All right.
Because he just, he would just.
For some reason it stuck with him.
I want me go all the time. Loved it. So, the first clip featured the Duke in The Quiet Man.
Oh, okay.
Which I highly recommend.
Is that an Irish-centric movie?
Yeah, it takes place. He's born in Ireland, grew up in the United States, had something happen which motivated him to move back to Ireland, and very just a quirky but really entertaining movie. Great movie.
All right.
So I've got three.
I've got four.
Got one.
Okay.
All right.
Well, how do you want to arrange it, Nick? You're in charge.
I guess. Do you want to give up one of yours?
Me?
Yeah. Since you got the quantity over everybody.
Yeah, I'll go. What did all the men in the St. Patrick's Day parade have in common? What did all the men at the St. Patrick's Day parade have in common?
I don't know.
They all had a micro penis.
Are you insane?
No pun.
Just a factual observation this time of the joke.
Wow.
Like something from a medical journal.
Exactly.
All right. How about Nick?
I could throw one out. What is the name of the Irishman who is anxiously awaiting a grunge music resurgence? What is the name of the Irishman anxiously awaiting a resurgence? a resurgence of grunge music.
Hmm. Don't know.
That would be none other than Donnan Flanagan.
Yeah! Yes!
Boom!
Boom. Want me to do another one? Or
sure.
We'll put Chris's right somewhere in the middle,
yeah.
I guess. Why do Irishmen like to fight so much?
I think I know. If there's four of these, I think I'm suspicious they might have
similar.
You're
using your buddy Mike's strategy here. With
because
Sunshine.
They all have micro penises.
Well, what do you got to say for yourself, Crumb? Huh?
Sensing a theme here, Arya?
Yep.
Chris, would you like to throw your joke
out? Sure. Sure. What do you call an Irishman who bounces off the walls after he's had one too many pints of Guinness?
Ooh. Bounces off the walls. What do you call him?
Rick O'Shea.
That's good.
Hell yes. Shit.
Kind of sounded like the Leprechaun.
A little bit, yeah.
Same voice.
Same voice.
If we get a reboot, I know who they can call for the voiceover.
We gotta pump this back. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Nick? Or Chris? Nick.
Nick.
Do I go with the one my wife told me not to get into?
Well, you should definitely go with it. The question is, do you want to do it now or wait?
I'll do it now.
Okay. Yeah, you should definitely go with it.
Get ready for it.
That's the mark of quality.
A whole new level of stupid here.
If Mrs. Nick doesn't like it, it's a mark of quality.
It's not that she doesn't like it. There's a graphic I'm going to hold up to the camera.
Oh, right. You mentioned that.
And she said, that's weird. Don't do that. So I'm doing it. What is the name of the seasonal sandwich that Arby's offers during the first half of March? What is the name of the sandwich that Arby's is offering during the first half of March?
I don't know.
Oh boy. Any guesses?
Zoom in on them, Andy.
The seasonal sandwich that Arby's is currently offering would be none other than the four beef clover.
Don't you think I got enough bullshit on my mind?
She said, that's weird. Don't show that.
Is that a pickle spear in there?
There's that's the stem of the clove of the shamrock.
Oh, okay.
That's a pickle spear.
But it is a pickle, yeah.
Yeah.
On rye bread.
That's the four beef clover.
Four beef clover. I like that one. Good one. My turn?
Yep.
Why do Irishmen like to drink so much?
Let's think about this for a minute.
Let's see.
A lot of reasons.
Anybody want to say it with me? One, two, three. Because they have micro penises.
How dare him? How dare him?
You want me to give up my last one, or you want to... You got one more?
Yeah, I got one more. Okay. You do your last one, I'll bring it home.
Okay. Why did the leprechaun spend extra time at the tanning salon this past week?
Extra time.
Why did the leprechaun spend extra time, more than he normally would have, at the tanning salon?
No doubt listening to Aerosmith like Andy does. Clearly. At the tanning salon.
Right.
I don't know. Andy, do you know?
I don't know. I'm thinking what kind of bronze, golden, I don't know.
Well, the reason is he had heard that people like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a dark stout.
The Jones guys are having a night tonight, aren't they?
Dark stout.
Pretty good.
All right, this is it. Need all three of you other guys to join me on the punchline. I think you can do it. Why are Irishmen such unconscionable assholes? One, two, three. Because they have micro penises.
You're killing me, man!
Well, we don't have very many listeners from Ireland.
None.
And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Well, you know what? Let's not be so hasty.
No?
What happened with the Australian population?
Yeah, they came around.
Insults led to...
Bobby Roode almost had it. Bobby Roode was trying to play along. I guess because of their giant...
Just went right. The fork in the road, he just went the other way.
Almost. Well, there you go. Have a beer, get angry.
Fight.
You were gonna do it anyway.
Or don't.
Oh, don't.
Or do it the right way. It's up to you.
Yeah. Chris, what are you gonna do for St. Patrick's Day? Either both of you. I want everyone to answer.
I mean, it's on a Tuesday?
Tuesday.
What I usually do, which is nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, I'm not... probably the stupidest of all quote-unquote holidays that occur. So, I do not observe it in any capacity. I might throw on a green shirt just for the hell of it.
That's nice.
But other than that, you know, why are we celebrating the Irish at all? There's no reason for it.
You're a corned beef guy, though, aren't you? You'd eat some of that.
I can deal with some corned beef. I like the thin corned beef, though. You know, you ever had the corned beef? It's like the thick chunks. Nah,
you don't go for that.
I don't go for that shit. It's got to be thinly sliced.
Four beef clover.
Four beef clover, I would consider that.
An open-faced four beef clover.
The pickle spear is selling me like that.
What about you, Chris C.?
Well, there's nothing more Irish to do on St. Patrick's Day than to go out for Greek food. So it is going to be Ellen's father's birthday.
We are
going for Greek food to celebrate Papu.
Perfect.
So, okay. I thought you were trying to get away from the crowds, but okay. That's a good reason.
And have some green tzatziki sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some funnel shaped meat.
There you go. Yeah.
That's good.
Some Saganaki, perhaps. Oh, I love that stuff.
Spanakopita. You got the green and the spinach in there.
Nobody can pinch you if you've got spanakopita on your plate.
Okay.
Well,
didn't know that.
Well, you know.
Look at this. Why did Bobby Root? I don't wear green on St. Paddy's Day because I love the pinches. So there you go. He wants to get pinched.
This is a thing that you get pinched if you don't wear.
Remember? It's an old thing. Yeah.
I've never, wearing green,
you get pinched.
In the parlance of our times, I was today years old when I realized that. I've never heard of that before.
It's like if you're a young woman or girl walking down the street on Dingus Day, you're going to get water thrown on you.
I missed that one. That's just another one.
I don't know about
Dingus Day.
This is all new to me, and I'm not interested in it.
There's that Paul Stanley bootleg from his 1989 solo tour, where it must have been either right on or very close to St. Patrick's Day, from Toad's Place, where he's saying, "I don't have anything green on." He's talking to people in the crowd.
Yeah,
because he doesn't want to get pinched, I guess. I don't know. Or he wanted to
get pinched.
Yeah. Nick, you doing anything? Plastic bowler hat, I hope.
Oh, I'm sure I'll have.
I gotta get one.
You know, I have a red plastic bowler hat, and Chris C might be into this. 2 days after St. Patrick's Day, St. Joseph's Day, get a red bowler out. Give me a call. Anybody doing that?
And what is that? This is all new.
So there's a whole thing where the Irish were in charge of the parishes and kind of had all the influence years and years ago. And St. Patrick's Day was this huge thing celebrating the Irish. The Polish and the Italians were like, hey, we want to get some attention. You know, we want to have like a day where we celebrate a saint, and it's going to be connected to our cultures. So the Polish and the Italians got together and decided that they're going to say St. Joseph's Day. So we're going to share a guy though. So
gee, that's a convening of some quality people right there. The Irish and the Polish. Oh my God.
The Italians and the Polish.
Yeah.
It's mainly a thing among Sicilians, my people. But yeah, with St. Joseph's Day, they have foods. They have like fava beans and lemons, and there's dishes that have like breadcrumbs in them that are supposed to represent Joseph's carpentry, profession.
Sawdust of his carpentry.
Sawdust, yeah. For real.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's a little... Do you guys do the table? Do you know anybody who does the St. Joseph's table?
I don't personally, but I'm familiar with the St. Joseph's table. Yeah, they put like flowers and candles and stuff on it.
Your desserts and your...
Imagine that. Putting flowers and candles on a table.
On a table.
Wow. Well, you build the table.
How imaginative is that?
It's a holiday where you build something.
Oh, you actually build the table?
You build the table.
Oh, wow. That could be dangerous with candles burning on a table of someone who's not a professional.
How about carpenter? I buy a table that somebody else built? How about we do that?
How about I use my table?
Yeah, or the table that I already own that at some point somebody built.
Yeah, I don't need a new table.
We're just going to go with that, yeah.
Unless it's like, is this a small table? What size table are we talking?
It's not a dinner table. It's a smaller table, little bench table thing, whatever. I'll send you a picture. I built one a couple years ago.
You did? Okay. I did. All right. I've never heard of this. This is new to me, too, and I'm your brother.
This is like Pope stuff adjacent.
It is, yeah.
Needs to be at least large enough to accommodate a four-beef clover, I think.
Leftover, you know, four-beef clover.
I got thrown off my game because there was no dainties today.
Which would be approximately a two-beef clover, I think.
I came prepared with a hooligan sandwich over here.
Oh, man, look at that.
We've got the chicken salad and the roast beef, so...
I haven't had one of those in a long time.
Fantastic.
Something about that. Wow. Yeah. Good call.
You got to eat that. What, are you going to eat it tomorrow? It's midnight over there.
Yeah, it's going to be lunch tomorrow. It's too late to eat now.
I was going to say.
Yeah, you're 49. You can't eat that shit at this hour anymore.
No, this is too late.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, man. Thank you again for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always a good time.
And, yeah. Thanks for coming on such short notice, but it just popped into my mind like seconds before I messaged you, and glad we could make it work.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, man. We'll see you soon, everybody. Let's see. What do we want to do? How are we going to sign off today? We'll do this. Chris, you deserve it.
Welcome to the Pop Show. Chris Camarato. No homo. No homo. Now let's congregate like proper hobos. 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 Put it in the car.
There we go.
Place the order today. Just one more night, and the Amazon truck will be stopped away. It's on the way. It was almost free to send drones. It flies, it flies, it's on the way. Should have ordered three.
Beautiful.